Live from Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bean and Michael B.
Indeed so, Mr. President Ronald Reagan, and happy birthday to you, Patriot. Happy birthday to you, President Reagan. Last Monday was indeed President Ronald Reagan's 102nd birthday, and you are sure missed. Good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. Today is Sunday, February the 10th. It is about 2 minutes after the top of the hour, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your chiropractors of conservatism, Uncle Bean from Tennessee Patriot Studios Command, and me, Michael B. from Texas Patriot Studios Command. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Ron Adcox will be doing the Step Right Up segment. We have Peabody Award winner actor Nick Searcy at the top of the second hour, and he'll be discussing his project Acting School with Nick Searcy with us. So between now and then, however, we're going to have an hour of in-your-face, vociferous, gonzo, adrenaline-pumped, southern discomfort of conservative coolness. So sit back, mommy and daddy-os, and enjoy the ride, because Dos Hombres is about to bust some liberal cojones. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Again, that's 718-305-7176. I suggest you start calling in now so you can help us open a can of whoop-ass on this perfidious breed of the treasonous. You know, I want to start today by speaking of some things that happened over the last week. I really don't have an editorial, but I've got a few thoughts on my mind. I want to start off addressing Ron Paul and his supporters, or as I like to call them, the non compos mentis. This past Monday, Ron Paul insults Chris Kyle's memory by quoting Matt 26:52. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Then to add insult to injury, he tries to backpedal by following up with the following. As a veteran, I certainly recognize that this past weekend's, speaking about last weekend, the weekend's violence and killing of Chris Kyle were tragic and sad event. My condolences and prayers go out to Mr. Kyle's family. Unconstitutional and unnecessary wars have endless and unintended consequences. A policy of nonviolence, as Christ preached, would have prevented this and similar tragedies. Mr. Paul, you tinfoil hat-wearing old coot, first of all, the Christ also said in Luke 22:36, he who doesn't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. I read the book also, sir. And furthermore, God doesn't advocate no killing at all. The commandment, thou shalt not kill, has been lost in translation and misrepresented by liberals to move their agenda. It has been a ruse to fool people into a misguided path by those who want to take our rights. The proper translation of the original Hebrew text of that commandment is lo tirtzak, which means do not murder. Murder, as in murdering people, Mr. Paul, is what Mr. Ruth did to Chris Kyle. This, sir, is murder, and it's completely and entirely different than killing people such as our enemies, as Chris Kyle did. No sane person can doubt that the killing of the Nazis was not a good thing, or that killing the Taliban or the terrorists is not a good thing. You, sir, are a counterculture idiot disguising yourself as a Republican, and honestly, you look like Timothy Leary. So go the hell back to Galveston, drop a hit of acid, and leave us that really are concerned about the direction of this country and are truly conservative to fix this mess. We don't need you. And while I'm on the subject of guns, notice that they always use the straw man argument. They bring to the table of debate and pass it off as an intelligent debate. And they use words like cold dead children, idiot, the F word, all the tack words and sympathy words. And liberals are good at this. They don't want people thinking with their heads. They instead pull on the hearts and emotions of those they attempt to debate with, which they do so poorly, I don't even have a clue as to why they try, so that those individuals will willingly give up their rights. And if all else fails, then they attack and demean. And then they come at you with more BS, like the straw man argument of registering and or insuring your weapon is the same as registering or and or insuring your car to keep it. To those libtards, I say, the Bill of Rights does not enumerate a requirement to keep and bear arms. It enumerates the right you are born with to keep and bear them. Furthermore, the government has no business making you do something to enjoy that God-given right if you're a law-abiding citizen. And as for that old guns and cars debate, guns and ownership thereof is a right. Driving cars on a public highway or roads is a privilege that requires you to pay taxes and insure in order to exercise that privilege. So again, leave the straw man arguments at home. They're apples and oranges. I suggest you all, you liberals, that is, brush up on your debating and come back after you have a sound, intelligent, debatable argument. Because we know, and let me just say, we know, in modern times, we know that there might be the need to actually have to pick up arms. When a tyrannical government is trying to force you to do something that's not right. I'm going to use Athens, Tennessee, down Brother Bing's way. August 2nd, 1946, some Americans brutalized by their country's their county's government used arms to force and overturn what was going on. These Americans wanted honest, open elections. For years, they'd asked for state or federal election monitors to prevent voting fraud, forged ballots, secret ballot counts, and intimidation by armed sheriff's deputies and by their local political bosses. They got no help. These Americans absolutely refused to knuckle under had been hardened by their service in World War II. Having fought to free other countries from murderous regimes, they rejected vicious abuse by their county government. These Americans had no choice. Their state's constitution, that is the Tennessee State Constitution, Article 1, Section 26, recorded their right to keep and bear arms for the common defense. And they took it to heart. And they picked them up. And they went after those political bosses, those folks that wanted to rob them of the rights that they were entitled to. So that kind of just ties a pretty little bow around how government can become tyrannical. With that said, speaking of Chris Kyle, folks, if you're in the North Texas area, this Monday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time at Cowboy Stadium, there's going to be a memorial service for Mr. Kyle. If you're in the area, I would highly suggest that you go. I'm unfortunately not able to go as I was off this last Thursday and Friday for a little few procedures that I had to have done. Let's see what else happened this last week before I bring Brother Bing on. Last Monday night, I have a side project. It's called Conservatives Coast to Coast on the Underground Hard Drive, and we interviewed K. Carl Smith. I'm going to drop this link into the chat room here shortly, but I would like to encourage everybody to go to FrederickDouglassRepublicans.com. K. Carl Smith, y'all might recall him from Runaway Slave. He's the president of the Frederick Douglass Republicans. Basically, the Frederick Douglass Republican methodology is advocating, expounding upon life-empowering values that Frederick Douglass believed in. Those are the respect for the Constitution, respect for life, belief in individual responsibility, and belief in limited government. This methodology, and I just got the book, and I'm fixing to dive into it along with Guns, God, I can't remember the name of it, by Ted Nugent I just bought as well. Fixing to dive into that. Now, I'll get back to y'all with some more on that, but it's a method in how we conduct and carry ourselves when we're talking to folks that don't believe like we do. You know, because there's, I'm going to say three words that we use right off the top of the bat that's going to lose us the argument right off the top. They're going to tune us out. They're not going to hear the second word of the second sentence. And that is if we say we're a Tea Party, we're conservative or Republican. Because if you're in a minority or in certain women's groups, those words automatically mean you're a racist or a misogynist. That is what the liberal media has taught and pounded into the sheeple, the weak-minded in our country. So if we use those words, we're automatically going to be tuned out, and it doesn't matter what else we say because they're not going to listen. So I'm really excited about this methodology and getting this book digested and then sharing it with everybody. A couple of other things real quick, Brother Bing, before I bring you in here. Here in Texas, we're fighting a battle called C-Scope. It's a curriculum for our schools. Outside of Texas, it's called Common Core Curriculum. Folks, I've been doing a lot of studying on this. We're going to be putting together a show that's going to talk about this. But you need to stay abreast of what your children are being taught. Let me just give you some key words here, okay? Linda Darling Hammond, Bill Ayers, Muslim indoctrination, communist indoctrination, Agenda 21. If this doesn't scare you, it better. These people have they've already taken over our public school systems, and now they're going after it with a vengeance. They know they can't change what's already at the top, to include their leader, Barack Obama. But this Common Core curriculum, and here in Texas, C-Scope, is scary stuff. I urge you to start looking into it and finding out whether or not your school district is using it. In fact, Representative Steve Toth here in Texas filed House Bill 760, where we're going to actually find some oversight over this curriculum. Because it is a internet-based curriculum, our law here in Texas has only required oversight over textbooks, not digital curriculum. So they found a loophole. We caught on to it. It took us, we're about 2 years behind, but we caught it. We're catching it. We're going to take care of this perfidious breed of people that want to indoctrinate our children. Other than that, I just want to say Bing and I are doing a facelift. You're going to hear a little bit of it today. We're putting together a new banner. Bing and I are going to start celebrating more our heritage. That is American by birth, but Southern by the grace of God. And we're gonna expound on that a little bit, because this is the way that we've always kind of went, Bing and I being a couple of good old boys. We're not racists, not at all. We're conservatives, and we want the best in life for everybody. But we're going to steal the Confederate battle flag. It's going to be our calling card. It's going to be our calling card for those that are tired of the liberals. We're fighting against the liberals. This is going to be in-your-face, all-out war. With that, let me bring in my brother.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing good, my brother. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yeah, definitely. I want to bring back that flag, because I'll tell you what, when the South rises again, the Yanks better run scared, because they ain't going to have no guns left because everybody's regulating them, are they?
Well, the Yanks and
we'll
the
Liberals walk right in and take over.
You know, this is going to be the flag for the common cause of conservatism, because to me, the flag doesn't mean what it represented back in the 1860s. To me, it means opposing tyranny. And that's what we're opposing now, brother.
Well, of course. And I really don't think the flag represented anything other than, you know, the South against the North back then, you know, but that's just me. But, yeah, you brought up the Battle of Athens over there in County in Tennessee. And, you know, people don't understand is that when these people, the Cantrell family, very wealthy family, and they started getting they reduced the districts that you could vote in from, I think it was from like 24 or 23 or something like that to 12. They reduced the sheriffs that they had over there. They would stop people that would come through the county and not even live there. They would just be driving through, not minding their own business, not committing a crime. They'd pull them over for ticket them for all sorts of things, drunk driving and other stuff. And it was outright. It was outright judicial a mistake on the judicial system. It was a mistake on the executive decision in that county. And these people had ultimate control. They had the power. They had, you know, the sheriff was behind them. Everybody was behind them, the mayor. And, you know, our World War II vets came back and said, look, we ain't taking it back in 1946. They said, look what happened to our county. What happened to it? And they took it back. And it's a good movie, actually. It's out on DVD, and anybody can watch it, and it's truly historical. It's I think that's the only time that that has happened in this country. If I'm mistaken, please somebody correct me.
Well, you know, and they were going up against corruption, you know, just like we're going up against now. I mean, we've got to go after these communists, you know, just like Joe McCarthy kind of did, you know. I mean, I know he gets a bad rap in history, but, you know, hey, by the way, speaking of Joe McCarthy, you know, hey, all you secret members of that Joe McCarthy fan club, I want to encourage you to join Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org this Monday, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's normally at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, but tomorrow night, once a month, Duke is a GOP committeeman there in Delaware, so this is a night that he's got a GOP meeting, so it's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central for Radio Free America. Yes, we know it's normally on Mondays at 7, as I just explained. But so if you love history, politics, flying, you know, open a can of whoop ass on the commies and so on and so forth, then this is
Whitaker
the show
Chambers.
For you. Yeah. So you need really, folks, you need to check out Duke Brooks. He's a radio veteran. Radio Free America, Monday night, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central on the conservativenationradio.org. Real quickly, brother, let me just play a quick little drop, and then we'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. conservativenationradio.org. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
Mississippi Queen, if you know what I mean. Gotta love you some mountain, brother, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen.
I like it when you play them clips, man, because I try to get the... be the first one in there to actually say, okay, this is the band that played it, you know. Just bragging rights, man. If somebody can beat me, hey, go for it.
There's nothing better than good Southern rock, man. Hey, it's 18 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. The phone number, 718-305-7176. I'm Michael B. in Texas, along with my brother from another mother, the man himself, Uncle Bing Fisher from Tennessee. We got a great show being lined up today. At the top of the next hour, we're going to have actor Nick Searcy on, who's going to discuss Nick Searcy, who's going to discuss you knew that.
Yeah, I knew that.
Who's going to discuss acting school with Nick Searcy with us. You can find that at nickcearcy.com. It's great stuff. I highly encourage y'all to check out the videos. They're absolutely hilarious. Check us out at conservativenationradio.org, as well as our partners. You know, we here at Conservative Nation Radio, we are the mouth for traditionalamericanmovement.com, because we are traditional Americans. So I would encourage you to check out that website. If you've not yet joined it, you need to do so. It is a liberal free zone. Brother Bing, so tell us a little bit about your past week. We're going to bring on Ron Adcox here in a little bit. He's going to do the Step Right Up segment. But what's been going on in your world? I know we've all been really busy last week. I was kind of incognito for a while. I know the program director, Duke Brooks, was probably a little irritated with me because I was like, not taking fun. I mean, well, besides working a lot of overtime at the bank and then taking the day off Thursday to cleanse myself for my procedures on Friday and just getting back to normal today. I actually had a bowl of Frito pie for the first time in 10 years last night at 8 p.m. in the evening. I haven't eaten anything at 8 p.m. in the evening in probably 10 years. I went all out, man. I had to repoison my body.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you what. I had that done before one time in a colonoscopy. Well, I didn't have your deal was like they went in both sides of you. I mean, I only had the one deal done. That was the backside. And I'm like, man. Yeah, I mean, the operation part ain't bad, you know, but it's like going through all that pre-cleansing stuff and all this other thing, you know.
Oh, that's the worst part, man.
I would have just rather, you know, just hose me down in turpentine or something. I don't know, you know, that was the worst part of it. And then afterwards, you got to sit there till you poop, too. They won't let you go until you do that.
By the time
I know we're talking about, you know, different things here that probably shouldn't be talked about, but
well,
that's life, you know what I mean?
Especially if you're a man. Look, if you're a man age 45 or older and you've not had a colonoscopy, go get one. Don't make Bing and I have to come drag your nasty butt to the doctor to have it done, because let me tell you, polyps can be precancerous, and I don't want any of our patriots to be dying from something that could have easily been fixed by suffering the indignity of drinking 238 grams of Miralax and being tied to the toilet. We're joking about it now, but guys and gals, ladies, you probably need to do it too, but you need to make, just as I would make my wife go every year and have a breast examination for a mammogram, because I don't want to lose my wife over something stupid that we could have prevented. She feels the same way. I know it sounds kind of gross, but in all seriousness, it's got to be done. So go, guys, go get your junk checked out. And make sure you're clean. All right, that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, and the thing is too is that, you know, I don't think everybody makes a big deal out of, you know, breast awareness month. I mean, I'm always aware of breasts, but the thing is that everybody makes a big deal about this because it's a woman's issue, and guys end up dying quicker and earlier because they don't talk about issues like this. You know, they really don't. Women do though, but guys don't. They want to keep it secret. And, you know, I think, you know, blow the lid off it. You know, let the cat out of the bag. I mean, you know, we need to take care of ourselves. And we need to do what the doctor says, you know.
Well, I think prostate cancer and colon cancer are the two number one causes for men dying that are our age.
Well, I think they're the top. I think prostate cancer is the top leading cause of cancer. It's over breast cancer. I know that there's at least one of them that's over breast cancer. But see, breast cancer gets the awareness because the breast cancer people did a great thing, and they mimicked the people that were fighting against AIDS. They got those ribbons and all that kind of stuff that you put on the back of your car. When's the last time you've seen have a prostate exam, you know, ribbon? I don't think there exists something.
Well, nobody likes to talk about the short arm check, you know? I mean,
No, I'm just saying, I mean, yeah, if you're a dude, you know, 45, 50 years old, you know, think about doing that. Go talk to your doctor. I'm not a doctor. I only play one on TV, all right? So
absolutely. Bing and I will just say, gentlemen, please, because we do care about you, just, you know, every couple of years, go have a colonoscopy, get your prostate checked. You know, there's just really no point in losing your life over something that could be so easily fixed. Enough said on that, though, Bing, because we don't want to be gross. We were having a little fun with it. But look, we're about 25 minutes after the top of the hour. Tell us what's going on in Bing's world, brother. I mean, I've been so busy. I hadn't talked to you in a week or two. I've talked to Barbara. Barbara keeps up with me a whole lot, you know, but that's because she's mommy, you know, just like Teresa, you know, Mama Bear.
Oh, yeah.
And they keep up with their boys.
No, I mean, last week I was basically working second shift. We had a little minor crisis down at work, and I said, well, you know, I'll go ahead and work a split shift and, you know, help, you know, tag team on this issue and get it resolved. And, you know, they treat me pretty good over there, and so, you know, I figure, well, you know, treat them back. You know, it's part of the company. If the company grows, if the company does good, then I'll do good, you know. So I agreed to do that. So it was a little bit of a hassle the first day or so, and then coming off it was a little bit, you know, because your body's got to get used to all that. Other than that, I've been working on the Trad-Am new site. I'm still working on it, okay. I really thought this was going to be a lot easier, but I got some really kick-butt heavy-duty modules that I'm installing. So I'm having to go back to school and read things. I'm having to actually read stuff and, you know, go through all that kind of thing. I think I don't know exactly when I'm going to get that going, but it looks pretty cool so far. I've got the website kind of down, that part of the website down anyways. Trad-Am's still running over the forums, but as far as this part of it, I've got it toned down so that you can't access it unless you got certain code and that kind of thing. But yeah, it looks pretty cool, man. I'm liking some of this stuff, and I found a couple really good things that I think CNR ought to use too. One is a polling feature, and there's, you know, I don't want to bore people, but yeah, I'll get with you on all that. I like the logo, man, that you came up with. I love that. That is killer.
Southern discomfort. That's
Hell
what we're gonna
be. I know another dude down here in Florida, or over in Florida there, that he's going to love that. He's just at Rob. He's actually going to love that.
Well,
but, But yeah, that's basically what I've been doing, man. It's raining here right now, and you know, there's not much else to do except get ready to start planting stuff as soon as that plant season comes around.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, my brother. Well, listen, folks.
One more thing I can't forget is that we are famous here in Midville, as far as Tennessee goes, is that we had, I don't know if you guys, if you watch Fox, you probably heard it 3 or 4 times about that lunatic out there in England that called in to say, or not called in, but wrote on Facebook or something that he was going to kill 200 people out here at my daughter's high school, Warren County High School. So, yeah, she didn't go to school Monday, I believe it was, and she didn't go to school Thursday, and then Friday she did. They put more cops out here, and I believe they had, metal detectors and that kind of stuff. They caught the dude. He's from Britain, but I don't know. That's about all I heard about that. But yeah, my daughter was pretty freaked out about that. You know, coming off the Connecticut shooting. So, it's something that you don't know when it doesn't affect you, I guess, you know, until it actually does.
No, yeah, and it's something you need to be worried about. And you know, while we're at it, speaking of children and deranged nuts, let's just let's thank God that little Ethan down there in Alabama came out of that deal and that nut was taken out.
Definitely.
You know what? I'm not one to wish people's death, but I'm honestly glad this guy was taken out. You know, sometimes the human herd just has to be called. That's all there is to it. You just got to call the human herd sometimes. And this idiot needed to be taken out. He saved the taxpayers' money. He saved us all a bunch of aggravation. He saved the poor idiot lawyer that would have said he had a bad childhood. Blah, 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 blah. Thank you to law enforcement for doing us a favor and taking this idiot out of our lives.
Well, it's not just the money and it's not just the aggravation. You know, it's this little boy. Autistic boy, from what I gather, and he's seen a murder. The school bus driver was murdered. He was abducted, and he's seen another murder too. Well, another killing by the cops afterwards. I mean, you know, I gotta wonder, you know, how is this kid gonna fare, gonna do, in the total scheme of things. But I think he'll be all right. But I mean,
well,
yeah, thank God that the cops and SWAT team were able to figure out how to get in that bunker, how to blow the door off, and how to get in there and neutralize the situation real quick.
Absolutely. Well, and let's all pray for Ethan and that he has a speedy recovery and that this does not cause him some lifelong issues. But, hey, real quickly, Brother Bing, the leftist media would like we conservatives to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, and even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAm, as you'll hear us refer to it. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. Uncle Bing and I hope to see you there soon. And speaking of conservatism, my friends, there is strength in conservatism, which is why we're all here. And Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. And thankfully, my sister is still here with us. Maybe that's why Hillary Clinton has been incommunicado for the last few weeks. Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, and Nikki Haley have nothing on Brenda. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, is the place to hear from real women who are real conservatives. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys, you're welcome too. Women Patriots with your host, Brenda Ward, and Barbara Mulligan Buffing on the conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatives for real conservatism.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. so I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Just got paid today. Brother Bing, a little bit of ZZ Top bringing us back. It is 31 minutes after the top of the hour. Brother Bing, we've got Mr. Ron Adcox on the line here, as well as Brother Kurt Blackwell. Why don't we bring in, is it time, brother?
Believe so, yeah. Let's boot Ron up here.
I'll get him on, you start him up.
Can you hear me?
Shoot, I forgot. Yeah, hold on a second there. I'm trying to find the link here.
I got it.
All right, good.
All right. Yeah. How.
Come on, Brother Rollins, step right up. Take it away, brother.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Ron.
Good deal. I want to discuss our dismal outgoing former CIA director and now exiting Secretary of Defense, Al. That's right, ALF. Remember him? That little cartoon
yeah.
guy on television here a few years ago? Well, he looks just like Leon Panetta. If you don't believe me, go look up some images on him. You'll understand. But earlier in the week, along with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Martin Dempsey, Panetta testified before the Senate on several matters. I'm going to focus on the Benghazi failure that led to the death of four Americans who should have had much more support from their government. You have to appreciate General Dempsey's long service, but I'm finding it hard to appreciate his non-actions in this matter. In his testimony, both he and Panetta swore they only had one 30-minute phone call with Obama at around 5 p.m. that day. Other reports say that Dempsey and Panetta were notified of the riot at Benghazi at around 4:30, and they then met with Obama. Did they meet or speak on the phone? It seems like such a simple thing, the truth, that is. It's clear that we're not going to hear the truth from this administration, even under these circumstances. Senator Lindsey Graham, no true conservative in my mind at least, pushed hard on whether Obama kept in touch with things that they happened in Benghazi. They finally admitted they had only had the one conversation with Obama at the beginning of the siege, and nothing more until after it was over. The attack ended up lasting some 8 hours. Guess Obama was too tired to stay up to see the outcome. Who makes decisions when he's not around? I think Obama's priorities are far different from his predecessors in the White House. I guess Obama needed his beauty sleep since he had to leave early the next morning for a couple of campaign stops in Nevada. Surely anyone would understand that his re-election trumped a few people dying over in Benghazi. Obama's focused, if nothing else. Is there no one that can make a decision when Obama is unavailable? If Panetta or Dempsey couldn't, then I guess Obama micromanages as well as Johnson did during the Vietnam War. How hard would it have been to order a special forces team to launch as soon as possible to assist or save our men in Benghazi? Even if it would have been hard to get there in time. We know now the attack lasted 8 hours or so. Before and while it was happening, it was anybody's guess how long it would last. Our guys in harm's way, I bet, kept saying to themselves, they'll get here. We aren't going to die like this. I wish their prayers had been answered. I wish our administration were responsible like it should have been. Since no one was deployed, no one arrived. I think it was 23 days later or so that the FBI finally got there to secure the scene. CNN got there way before that and found some important papers thrown around. What a fiasco. I guess protecting our own is no longer a priority of this administration. Look at the legacy this president is leaving. Look at the idiots he surrounds himself with. Look at the idiots he is resupplying his cabinet with. One last question I have about General Dempsey. Is he the highest brass that's being used to weed out commanders in the field that would disobey a direct order to fire upon American citizens if the government decides it's in the country's best interest to eliminate some that will never give up their constitutionally guaranteed God-given rights no matter who tells them to, even if there's a gun in their face? Well, you know, he might be that general, if the rumors are true. Why else would the Department of Homeland Security be purchasing all the ammo they have if they're not planning to take over from a heavily armed populace? My head spins as I consider any alternative to that. Now, this next is purely my thoughts, and everybody on here is probably going to argue with me about it, and I'll probably be called a left loon for it, but listen anyway. Now, for Mr. I cannot utter the phrases Islamic Jihad or Islamic terrorist when I speak of America's enemies, John Brennan. Among the many things I have to say against him, his being the mastermind behind the drone killings of Americans on foreign soil, which Obama has so gladly taken to new heights, is the worst. After much grilling on this subject, his best answer to those that were worried the practice could be misused was, "Trust me." Excuse me, trust him, and more importantly, trust our Constitution-shredding president that only follows what the Constitution says when it suits him. You know, old I will rule by executive order, president, fearless leader. Pardon me if I think this is a large mistake. Sometimes when we see things, we see them one way, but the truth looks a whole lot different. I wonder if anybody making these decisions to kill these guys using this drone ever imagine that maybe they just misunderstood somehow. I just hate the idea that anybody, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, has the kind of power in their hand to sit behind an office in Washington, D.C. and order somebody to die thousands and thousands of miles away. I wonder, you know, there's the left-leaning argument that you're going to jump on me with, but due process has to mean something to an American citizen. Isn't it kind of funny? Is it funny to you like it is to me when you, if somebody can, terrorists can come over here on American soil and try to do something bad and we arrest him, we have to Mirandize him. We have to read him his rights. But you let an American get on foreign soil and not have to be inside of a war zone or in a where he's got a gun, he's aiming it at some Americans, but somebody back in Washington can say, decide that, well, he's over there, so he must be guilty. Let's just zap him and vaporize him. I just don't like any one person having that kind of power. Now, that's my rant. There's nothing more to see here. Move on.
Are you sticking to that home? Good rant for my brother down there in Georgia. Thank you, Ron.
It was a great rant. You know, I just want to add a little to something about it that he talked about, especially where this drone situation is concerned. You know, I seem to recall in 2011. In fact, I'm looking at the PDF. I saved it way back then. The Department of Homeland Security issued a briefing that is there's a document online you can find. I'm happy to send it to anybody. Right-wing extremism, current economic and political climate, fueling resurgence in radicalization and recruitment. In this document, Napolitano of the Obama administration goes on to call disgruntled military veterans, i.e. me, Tea Party, i.e. all of us, i.e. conservatives, and so on and so forth. A list that's longer than my arm. All of us, they have called and consider us to be terrorists. Here's my problem with this drone thing, Ron, and correct me if I'm wrong. If George Bush were doing this, I'd have no problem with it, because I've got no problem with killing terrorists. Even if they're Americans abroad that have renounced their citizenship and picked up arms against my brothers and sisters in the armed forces or the civilians that are American. I got no problem with bombing the hell out of them with a drone or anything else, because as far as I'm concerned, they're not an American citizen. The problem I have, though, is when it comes from an administration like this that takes laud, general, sweeping brushstrokes and classifies and designates whom they believe to be terrorists. So if they're saying that they can launch a drone strike against American expatriates that have taken up arms or whatever, or they consider to be treasonous, and they can drone these people, then who's to say that at some point at my next Tea Party meeting, someone sitting in the war room says, hey, there's a group of terrorists, let's bomb them. Now, I know that seems a little extreme. I know it sounds like I've got a tinfoil hat on, and I don't expect that it would ever get to that point. But there is a slippery slope in and of itself with this when this kind of a policy comes from a tyrannical communist regime like the Obama regime.
I don't like it from any regime, actually. There's just too much room for abuse in it, and it all comes, and if they don't make it more transparent than it is right now, it's always going to end up like this Brennan says, you just have to trust me. Well, hell no, I don't trust you. I don't believe I trust anybody. They're government employees. What is there to trust?
That's a good point.
That's the rub, Ron. I mean, if we could trust our government, and look, see, I take a different stance on this. I think when you go overseas and you denounce your citizenship, basically, when you start attacking American civilians and American soldiers, I think you denounce that citizenship.
Of course you have.
But okay, what I'm saying is that when we don't even trust our own government, I don't even trust the last stupid election that happened. I don't trust that. How can I trust the government to sit there and say, okay, yeah, we're going to, you know, these are all just, you know, the perfectly legit strikes, okay, which they probably are, all right? But the thing is that I can't trust them other than that. And if we had a government that we could trust, which right now, which almost 60% of the people don't trust this government, if we had a government that we could trust, a government that was led by people that were constitutionalists and so on, not by Ron Paul constitutionalists. I'm sorry, I can't go there. Okay, we have to be involved in other places. But when we don't trust our own government, then we can't trust them to make a decision like this.
That's a fact, and there's coming a day when it's going to start happening over here. They're already spreading the drones out in our skies, supposedly for safe uses, but. But add that to all the ammunition that the DHS is scooping up. I read somewhere where they only used like 500 million rounds in the Iraq War, and we bought 2.5 billion rounds. What's up with that?
I don't know. I don't know what they need it for. And it's not just regular rounds; they're hollow points, and they're large capacity. They're large caliber rounds. These are rounds to kill people. These are not rounds for practice. This is not target practice. Why does the IRS need ammunition? Seriously. Why? Don't they call the cops in when they visit your door anyways? I know they come to my house before and they had the cops. They don't come out there by themselves.
Well, maybe the revenuers do.
No.
Hey. They're coming after your still, Bing.
Hey, you guys,
I ain't got no still here. 718-305-7176, the call-in number. Please get calls in.
Hey, and speaking of our brothers and sisters that are serving, conservativenationradio.org is proud to welcome former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee to the Sound of Freedom with Higg and Resch, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Carl's the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and the outspoken critic of the Obama administration. I guess nobody told these guys in the White House not to mess around with Navy SEALs. Carl Higbee is a real patriot who's talked the talk and walked the walk. So listen to Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, and on the conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining.
For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Well, I didn't want to play that one. Let's try this one.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing. It is 47 minutes after the top of the hour. We're about one segment away from giving Mr. Nick Searcy a call and getting him on the line with us to talk about acting in school with Nick Searcy. We just got done with our Step Right Up segment with our buddy from Georgia, Ron Adcox, which was a great rant. And anyway, Bing, we've got Ron and Kurt still on the line with us. Why don't we spend the phone number, 718-305-7176. Y'all call in. You know, this is your show. This is your chance to open up a can of whoop-ass on the liberals. So give us a call. Oh. Say what you got to say.
I'm still down on the bayou after that last song from Creedence, man.
Oh, brother, you can't beat some Creedence now. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, I wish John Fogerty wasn't such a flaming liberal, though, you know.
I mean, I know. Well, you know.
The guys
look,
out there. You know, I mean, I lost a lot of respect for a lot of bands, but I guess I still listen to them here and there, except the Dixie Chicks. I will never, ever listen to the Dixie Chicks again,
well,
if I can help it.
Well, I never listened to them to begin with. But, you know, I have had to set aside what I know some actors and some artists, recording artists, their political beliefs are, because I like their music. So I try to really step outside of that political box and that political ideology and forget about what they believe, because I like their music and or I
yeah,
like their
cool.
acting.
You know, when I first got into the Tea Party movement, I went around a couple different rallies and so on, and they were playing Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA, and I'm going, wait a minute, do you guys know what you're playing there? Listen
yeah.
to the lyrics, dude. Dudettes, you know? I mean, listen to this. This guy's tearing the country down. You don't want to be playing this stuff, you know? So after they listen to it, they're, oh, yeah, it sounds cool, Born in the USA, you know, but, you know, the guy's talking about just everything just going down the tube, you know?
Well, that's another person you'd never hear me playing. Not because he's a communist. And not because of the lyrics to his song. I just simply don't like Bruce Springsteen. I'm not from the Northeast. I don't understand the steel town mentality. I was born and raised in Texas, and that's what I understand. I understand Southern mentality. So that's why you typically – that's why if you catch me driving around town, you're generally going to hear Lynyrd Skynyrd or ZZ Top or, you know – and it's all old, 30, 40-year-old music. You know, I date myself. Anytime I open the window and the music comes out of my truck, my pickup truck, you know, I date myself. But that's just me.
Well, so the boys, I mean, when we ride around with Top Down, I mean, we're listening to Skinner. We're listening to, you know, maybe even some heavy metal stuff. You know, Alice in Chains I like a lot, you know, that kind of stuff. We like our women, you know, hot. We like our women from the South. And we like our whiskey warm. We like our beer cold, man. That's what
that's
get,
right.
You know?
Or when I was in college in the evening time, I'd have cold beer and hot pizza. And then the next morning, I'd wake up and have hot pizza and cold beer.
Cold beer. There you go.
I'm sorry. Cold pizza and hot beer. Anyway, hey, let's bring on. We got about 10 minutes here. Let's bring on Ron and Kurt and chat a little bit. I need to step away for just a second. Someone's ringing my doorbell, and it's about to drive me crazy. It's probably a 10-year-old that doesn't understand if you don't answer the door within about 5 minutes, that means no one's answering, so go away. But if I don't go answer the door, then they're not going to stop. So let's bring in Ron and Kurt, and I'll be right back, brother.
All right. Hey, Kurt, how you doing there, brother? Welcome to Soldiers of Patriotism.
Hey. Say again, Bing.
I said, welcome aboard to the show. How are you doing today?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm doing great. Dang it. Hey, Ron, good job there. I was just listening here. You know, you're talking about the so-called boss there, Bruce Springsteen. To me, he's just a libtard with a skid mark on his chin, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, a little nugget I want to toss out to you folks here, especially the Tennesseans, but everybody that believes in the Second Amendment will be interested in this. I was up in Nashville for a couple days this week at Legislative Plaza, and on Tuesday I had the privilege to sit in the Judicial Committee hearing room there, and this time the bill known commonly as the Parking Lot Bill or the Safe Commute Bill, which the short version of it is that it allows you to keep your weapon in your vehicle parked in the parking lot of employees or places of business that does not allow guns brought in their business. That was a big hassle last year. They were trying to search people's vehicle even in the parking lot. That bill came out of Judicial Committee, went to Rules and Calendar. That is a step. That's a good step in the right direction on that Second Amendment bill there. A lot of stuff going on up there. Some of it I'm not at liberty to talk about yet because bills are still in the making, and I guess you could say alliances are being formed between between conservative senators and conservative representatives. It's going to be a tough fight there in the House and the Senate in Tennessee, but I think we're going to get some good stuff done up there. And
Ron Ramsey brought that. He wanted to push that bill through, didn't he?
Yes, yes, he did. Now, getting it through the House is going to be another ball game. I suspect, well, I pretty much know if I'm still kicking, I'll be up there again next Wednesday. And we'll see what's happening then. We just got to ride herd on it. So anybody in Tennessee or with a connection to Tennessee, track down your local guy in the Senate and your guy, especially in the House of Representatives. Make the phone calls, the faxes, a personal appearance if you can. My own representative from this district here had a bit of a problem in his opinion on it because there's this thing about personal property. I understand all about personal property, okay? But when it comes to the Second Amendment, when you think about the words life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, what is the first word in that life? If I am deprived of my firearm and or the capability to protect my life, then all of my rights have been usurped and stepped on. So I don't want to hear the stuff about, you know, you can't bring your weapon onto my parking lot. You know, hey, you built that parking lot so the public can come there. That's just the way it is. But anyway,
yeah,
he did say, however, it's not my vote on this, it's the constituents' votes. And he said, and the constituency are 90% in favor of passing this bill. So there you go. But call your representatives, fax them, email them, whatever it takes. Get on this bill in the House. I don't have a number for it. We can get it out to you later on, though. I don't know what the bill number will be in the House.
Yeah, if we can get that published and get that spread around, man, especially us in Tennessee, we need to jump on that. Thank you for the update, man. You're doing good work over there, Chairman.
I think it's House Bill 0118. But don't hold me to that. So need to double check that thing.
All right, we will. We'll get our vast crack checking staff on it. But it makes no sense. You know, if you got a concealed carry permit and you go to work, and they don't allow it, what are you going to do? Park across the street, and then, you know, what good does that do for people that get stuck on the side of the, you know, stuck on the road or somewhere like that? You know, so I think this bill will pass. But yeah, we definitely we can't just, you know, presume, you know, things. We definitely have to be proactive. And anything else happening up there in the northwestern part of Tennessee that we should know about?
Being nothing else pops to my head right at the moment. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot more things coming down the road here before long. And as soon as it pops, we'll get the word out, okay?
All right, sir. Thank you, Kirk. Hey, Rob, how are you doing, buddy? I know you. Has your voice gotten a little bit more mellow after your rant there, or what?
Rocks, you got to cough out. And I coughed a few out today.
Did you?
I just get so irritated. That we didn't even get into the gun issue. There's so much going on, and I believe Kurt said that you take away our rights to guns, then the rest of our rights are gone. We'll be able to protect the rest of our rights if we don't have a right to have our guns. And that's just it. If you want to give up those rights to your guns, you ought to just go ahead and move to Europe where you belong. You'll be much happier over there.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to get into this thing, maybe, you know, not on this show, but for a different time, on the Third Amendment, how it relates to the Second.
I really liked that one. That was good. That was a good thing.
Did you like that? Because, see, people don't hardly remember the Third Amendment.
No, but it's so simple once you hear it. It's the right for you to refuse to let the government house soldiers in your house.
In your
house.
And
take your wife and eat your food and take your animals. We can't have that.
Whatever. We can't have that. And that's what they're doing with the UN and Agenda 21, too. So
it's like Michael's saying on that Agenda 21 in the sea, that P-zone or whatever it is in Texas, in the that core curriculum that Obama's pushing. This stuff is crazy. It is literally crazy.
Well, you know, I tell you what, we have ourselves to blame for that, because we let that happen for, since 1965, if not even earlier, I think. But we let that happen to ourselves. And now, you know, we got to change it. We got to own the narrative. We got to take it back. We got to move it in our direction. We got to move the ball down the field instead of going back. Instead of fumbling, going back. And what Karl Rove and his little cronies this week what he said this week and so on, it just totally disgusts me, because he's trying to pick winners and losers. This is all about an elitist little shell game with the GOP. And I'm getting really, really freaking tired of it. I'm getting fed up. I don't even want to vote for the GOP anymore, because I can't trust them. To me, look, I might as well go out and vote for a Democrat, a moderate Democrat.
What part of the government, we can't trust them? What part of that is hard to understand? They all screw us every chance they get.
It's not hard to understand. Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, here in Texas, just real quickly, then we've got a hard break and we need to get Nick on. But down here in Texas, State Representative Steve Toth, we're filing a Firearm Protections Act, which will indeed arrest federal agents if they come and try to take our weapons.
That's a good deal.
Tennessee,
good
I think
one.
We are too, Kirk. I believe we are also in Tennessee. We got some kind of bill going on for that too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is. I'm not up to speed on that right at the moment. My old cramped brain can only hold so much information close to the surface at one time there. But anyway.
Let me say something right quick before you go. You know, we're all going to have to sit down and think about this stuff. When you look out your window and you see a platoon of army or somebody in your neighbor's yard with all the guns out aimed at this guy's front door, what are you going to do? Are you going to go back, close your windows and pull your shades and go hide behind your bed and wait on them to come to get you? Or are you going to go out in your front yard and going to ask them, what the hell are you doing in my neighbor's yard? We're going to have this discussion, folks, and it's coming. It's coming.
All right, guys, this is Soldiers of Patriotism. We're up against a hard break here. Let me get this PSA going. I'm going to go a little bit out of order here. The program director is going to be a little upset, but I need a long PSA right at the moment so I can get call Nick and get him on the line, okay?
All right, Mike.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Nick, you there?
Hello?
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe
all
this.
I can hear it.
Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Patriot Studios. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
United States of America.
All right. Good Sunday right. afternoon good to Sunday you, princes and princesses of patriotism. This is Michael B. And it is about four minutes after the top of the hour. I'm getting some feedback. Hang on 1 second. It's about 4 minutes after the top of the hour, and we're about to bring on Peabody Award-winning actor Nick Searcy, who's going to discuss with us acting school with Nick Searcy. Brother Bing, you know, I am really excited about having Nick on here, and I've got a message for him from Sensei John LaRosa after we bring him on here, but let's go ahead and get Nick on in here. Nick, you there?
I'm here, and just so you know, my title is International Film and Television Star.
And I should have known that, right?
But I know, but you were nervous because I was coming on the show. I completely understand it.
I actually was going to follow him up on that, but he muted me.
Hey, well, Nick, do you have the radio on behind you with the show on?
I don't, no.
Okay, it went away now. Wow, well, what a... Or is that you, Bing?
I don't think so, but I'll mute myself anyways.
Getting some feedback here.
Anyway, Nick. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, Nick, tell us, first of all, I've been pumping you up for several weeks now. Peabody Award winner. You've been on Justified, all kinds of movies. You've got a project going on. It's called Acting School with Nick Searcy. That feedback is driving me nuts. But tell us a little bit about what's going on in Nick's world.
Well, the web series that I've started, Acting School with Nick Searcy, is a public service that I've begun just to sort of give back and to sort of show people what it's really like in Hollywood, as much as I can. It's I like to think of it as a quasi-reality show. It's just sort of I show you a little bit of what my life is like, so that, and the public service aspect of it is so that if people out there ever encounter an international film and television star like me who has a Peabody Award, they'll know how to behave and they won't embarrass themselves. You know, that kind of thing.
Embarrass themselves. Okay, let's get on with what happened with Brian Anderson over there.
Well, this is a perfect example. This is a perfect example of somebody who doesn't know how to treat an actor, you know, like me. Because in Hollywood, you know, actors are sort of like royalty is in England. You know, we're a different class, and so we need to be treated a bit differently. And Brian Anderson just didn't understand that. And that's why what happened on the show.
Wait, and you couldn't take care of that in just a civil manner? Or you had to wheel him down off the side of the road?
Well, I'm sorry that it came to that, but he wouldn't listen to reason. You know, I don't know if everybody in your audience has watched the show, but I was in the middle of doing an episode of my web series about my parking space and about how unique it was and how very few actors ever get them and how I'm very emotional about it, that I have a parking space with my name on it and what that means. And Brian Anderson just came up, rolled up in his wheelchair, and just because my parking spot happens to be in a handicap spot, he thought he was entitled to use it. And I tried to explain it to him. Yeah, I mean, well, you can understand. I mean, I explained to him that my status as a Hollywood actor superseded any government-mandated handicap sign, but he didn't want to listen to reason, and so, you know, we had to get into it a little bit.
Well, you did call him the D word, and it wasn't Democrat. He called you the D word.
No, he called me a name. Yes, I think anybody who watches the video will see that I am the victim in this situation. He struck me first. And he called me many names, and, you know, he got what he deserved, frankly. I'm sorry that it came to that, but I had to give him a little bit of a butt-whooping, you know.
Well, you should have pulled out that Peabody Award with your name on it like you did the guy there at the desk at Gold's Gym.
Yeah, I usually carry it with me almost everywhere I go in case anybody wants to see some ID. I usually just produce the Peabody Award. But I just didn't happen to have it with me when Brian Anderson invaded my episode. I didn't happen to have it with me. So, but be assured, from now on, I keep it with me at all times.
Well, this is Soldiers of Patriotism, and we do have actor Peabody Award winning actor Nick Searcy on with us. And you all should have known that. Nick, how did you come up with the idea for acting school? This is just totally off the wall, hilarious stuff.
Well, thank you. You know, it kind of came about during the real origins of it is this ad that I made for the Herman Cain campaign back when Mr. Cain was running for president. Friend of mine, Chris Burgard, and I. Chris was working with Mr. Cain at the time, and I told him how much I liked him, and he said, "Would you want to do an endorsement ad?" And I said, "Well, that'd be ridiculous. I mean, nobody knows who I am." And then the more I thought about it, it was like, "Yeah, that would be ridiculous. Nobody knows who I am. But technically, I'm an international film and television star because I make my living as an actor, and I did a movie in Romania one time, so that makes me international." So we just sort of came up with this character because I wanted to do an ad that sort of parodied the whole idea of Hollywood actors telling people who to vote for like they have some special knowledge or something. So that was what the ad was, and the ad came out, and it was called He Carried Yellow Flowers. And it's still on the YouTube. I mean, you know, and we got like 500,000 views on that thing, and they showed it on the O'Reilly Factor, whatever, you know. I mean, it was fun, you know.
At NickSearcy.com, and well, you've got five episodes plus the teaser out now. Is that correct?
I just, in your honor, because I was doing the show today, I released episode 6 this very hour. You can go there right now and see episode 6, which has just been released. And episode 6 is called Root Time, and it stars my friend Stephen Root. who's a fellow actor.
That's DickSeriously.com, folks. You know, you're talking about not taking yourself seriously, and actors not telling people who to vote for when they put their pants on the same way as everybody else. But when I started watching it, I thought to myself, you know, I shouldn't take myself so seriously. I mean, this was really kind of some good stuff that helped me with not taking my own damn self so seriously.
Well, that's why it's a public service. And just so you know, some actors don't put their pants on the same way as everybody else. I've seen them. but no, it is sort of that the whole idea of that because you've achieved a certain station in life, it gives you some sort of special status or special knowledge or something is kind of rampant all over the place in Hollywood, and I'm sure it happens everywhere else too. I mean, you just kind of get to the point where you just get a little bit full of yourself, and that's, you know, in my case, my personal case, it's completely understandable that I would be full of myself because of all that I've achieved. But for a lot of people, it's not that appropriate, Michael, you know?
No, I mean, you know, some of us still work for peanuts, you know. I mean, you know, we're not making any money at this. And I know if what you said, what, $4,000 a year or something like that?
Yeah, well, most actors don't make that much. Most SAG-AFTRA members make less than $5,000 a year. And I know that very well because I was one of those pathetic losers for a long time. But, you know, I overcame. Yeah. I rose to the top as cream does, you know.
I thought curds and whey kind of came up there first, but I don't know.
Well, I'm an actor. I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a scientist.
Not many of us are, or we would not be doing this. Actually, I want to say you're a martial artist.
Well, my daughter is a martial artist, and I picked up a few things from her. So, you know, just don't anybody out there get the idea that they should try anything if they ever meet me, because I'm dangerous. But no, I'm not necessarily a martial artist. I've had a little bit of training in my life. I can act like a martial artist.
Oh, were you in a movie with like Steven Seagal or something?
Yeah, I'm not a martial artist, but I played one.
Yeah, exactly. No, I haven't been in a movie with Steven Seagal, or, you know, I told the agents a long time ago, I'm not doing any movie where I get hit. I do the hitting. I'm the hitter.
Well, Nick, tell us, what's up with Justified? What's going on in the Justified world?
Well, we're almost done with the filming. I think we're airing the sixth episode this Tuesday, so we're almost about halfway, a little less than halfway through the season. And it's quite a year this year. It's very different than other years. There's kind of this overarching mystery that we're unraveling, and I think it's a really, really strong, fascinating year. It's a great show, and it's very well written. Great bunch of people, and we have tremendous support in the guest stars, the people that come and do our show. And it's a pleasure to be on, and I'm sure it's a pleasure to watch. It's a really, really great show.
Fantastic show.
Yeah.
Oh, Joelle Carter. Hello, nurse.
Hello, nurse. Joelle and I are actually old friends because before Justified, probably around 2005, Joelle and I did a horror movie together. So we've known each other a long time. So it was great fun to see, you know, to learn when she got to be part of the show too. It was great.
Yeah, we got a poll here running on Traditional American Movement that's asking, like, did you get your butt kicked by Brian or not? So I don't mean to go back on that subject at all, of course. You know, you being
an
international
a
film legend and so on.
Yeah, but what is the poll saying?
I'm trying to find that out.
Because I'd be really interested in seeing and in knowing what people thought of that. Because Brian Anderson goes around telling everybody he kicked my ass, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, by the way, Nick, John LaRosa, our friend John LaRosa says to tell Peabody Award-winning international film and television star Nick Searcy that he's appalled by Brian Anderson, who's not yet apologized for his disrespectful behavior towards such a legendary actor.
Well, John is absolutely right. I have not received an apology. I'm still waiting for that. And, you know, Brian Anderson, obviously, I mean, I don't want to give the wrong impression. I have the greatest respect for the American military. I appreciate what Brian Anderson did for the country and blah, blah, blah. But it does not give him the right. It does not give him the right to use my parking space. And
He was wrong for that. Hey, real quickly, Nick, we've just got to take a soft break, about 45 seconds. You'll give me just a minute here.
Sure.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it again. Yeah. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Well, I'm afraid to play anything else. We have quite an echo. You know, I think it might be because I called you from the studio. That's the only thing I've done different. We've got this horrible echo that's just driving me nuts, but we'll fight our way through it. Everybody, y'all, please be patient. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. It is 18 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got Peabody Award-winning international film and television star Nick Searcy on with us, but you knew that. Brother Ben, go ahead.
Kind of the results for the poll. It was, did Nick Searcy get his ass kicked or not? And the actual answers are Nick squealed like a baby. There's one vote. Brian was a weapon of mass destruction. That's 75% of the vote. Nick used a stump double. Nobody voted on that one. Nick used three stump doubles, and one of them was his kid. Nobody voted on that. Brian is a talent. Nobody voted on that one. Nick could not play his way out of a paper bag. Nobody voted on that. And then, Nick, you reserved here. I got one for you reserved. Nick won the fight. Don't click this option. This is reserved for Nick Searcy to vote on.
Well, obviously there's one person out there who's able to see and process information. I'm not sure about the rest. But obviously, Brian Anderson was in over his head, and if his friends hadn't come along when they did, it would have been a lot uglier than it was. So, you know, Brian Anderson can think whatever he wants, but I'll bet you this. I'll bet you he'll think twice before he comes back to my studio and tries to use my parking space.
I'd like to hear, I'll tell you what, Nick, hit him upside the head with that Peabody and make him yell, I'm telling.
Yeah, well, it might come to that. It might come to that. I'm not afraid of him. I've made that clear.
Are you thinking about litigation here?
No, there was a little bit of a chipped tooth there, and my teeth are very expensive. They're capped, and, you know, that's like a lot of Hollywood stars. It costs a lot of money to look the way that I look. But I'm not going to press charges against Brian Anderson out of respect for his military service, which I think is, you know, I always feel good when I do things like that. So.
But he called you the G word.
Well, that's true. He did. He did. He overstepped his bounds in many ways. Not only in using profanity, but in using physical violence. But I'm not going to press charges. I'm going to try to be the bigger man here and let this drop. Now, Brian,
if he would have called you a Democrat, I'd be all over.
Well, that might be the end right there. That might be grounds for libel. I could sue him for slander at that point. It's one thing to call me the D word that he used, but to call me a Democrat, that's going too far.
That's stretching the bounds.
Yeah, that's too far.
That's just the straw that broke the camel's back.
There's only so much a man can take.
Well, yeah. And I looked up your bio, and it says that you're also into wrestling. What kind of wrestlers are you into? Or if you are.
Well, I'm a professional wrestling fan. That, you know, I've been watching it my whole life, and you know, I'm just you know, your run of the mill WWE fan. Some people say that that's where I learned to act was by watching the wrestlers.
Are we channeling a little bit of Andy Kaufman there?
Well, I'm slightly familiar with that name, although I don't know his work that well.
Well, Jesse, now, oh, Jesse, now,
Carl Cox, and here we got the Addictors.
Now, Nick, we had Caslow on a couple of weeks ago. He's a producer over there in your neck of the woods. He did the Atlas Shrugged movies, by the way. And we put in a word for you. We said, hey, you need to get award-winning international film and television star Nick Searcy in that Atlas Shrugged Part 3.
I think he freaking listed it, Michael.
Well, then, obviously, it's, you know, the real fact of the matter is I don't think Harmon Caslow has enough money to get me. You know, he probably, you know, they have a very limited budget on that, and my price tag is very high, so it's understandable, you know. He would have spent most of the budget on my salary if he'd gotten me, so.
He thought awfully highly of you, though.
Well, that's great. Yeah, well, everybody does, you know.
He did say that you were good at what you do.
Well, that's a backhanded compliment if I've ever heard you, but I'll take that.
It was actually right after he said, well, yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, whatever it is he does, I'm sure he's very good at what he does. Yeah.
How does it feel being in Hollywood? And, you know, I'm not going to ask you. I mean, I think you're a little more like-minded to us and our listeners. How do you get through day-to-day life in Hollywood with some of the idiots that live out there?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I mean, it hasn't come up that many times in terms of just like political discussions breaking out on the set, because most of the time people either know where I stand and don't want to get into it, or they just, you know, and really most of the time everybody knows we're not there to do an episode of Crossfire. We didn't come to work to debate each other. We came to work to make a television show or a movie.
Right.
And so most of the time that's you know, we focus on that. And so it's not like, it's not like there's daily fist fights over politics on movie sets. But, you know, there have been a few times when you know, a discussion has broken out. I generally try – I have – my philosophy, generally speaking, is just don't start none, won't be none. Everybody knows where I stand. You know, but if they want to start it, okay.
Right.
If you want to get in,
your international film and television star, Nick Searcy.
You got that Peabody Award, you're going to smack them over the side of the head with.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also quite possible that, you know, I haven't run into these things because a lot of the really extreme, crazy leftist people that, you know, are in the movie business, they won't work with me anyway. They just go, I'm not having that guy, you know. So that might be right. Why it hasn't happened.
Yeah, and you got your posse to smack them upside the head, too. I don't know why I'm in this smack upside the head. I guess it's from watching your videos, but.
Well, it's in some cases, that's exactly what they need, is a smack upside the head. But.
Especially when they're in line for food, huh?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or they bump into you.
Yes, exactly. Or they try to bore me by saying, you know, how are you today, Mr. Searcy? Like, just leave me alone. You know, I'm an actor. I got important things to think about.
Yeah, your head is off in the clouds. I mean, you're thinking about other things. You don't need to deal with the little peons over there.
I am trying to think of ways to entertain millions of people. You know, I don't have time to just respond to every casual greeting. You know, so.
Hey, Nick, real quick, I wanted to play just a couple of minutes, the first minute or so of your new episode and let you tell us about it, okay?
Is this the Stephen Root episode?
Yes.
Oh, great, great. Very good.
Hang tight.
Oh, hi, and thanks for coming to acting school. I'm Nick Searcy, but you knew that. You know, one of the hardest things to do when you're an international film and television star is make friends. A lot of times people are jealous of your success, or they just want to be around you for the money, or they're just dumb. It's even harder to be friends with other actors, because acting is a very competitive business. And when you're competing with other actors for roles, friendship can be hard. Because actors are basically very petty, immature, insecure, vindictive, and hateful people. But I've got a big surprise for you today. This is going to be a very special episode of Acting School, because I have with us today one of the few actors in the business that I'm still friends with. Students, say hello. It's Stephen Root time. Steve? Hey, Steve. Thanks for coming to acting school.
Yeah, it's Nick, right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I forgot to wash my hands. I'll be back.
Okay. Now, everybody couldn't see that, but just listening to it, Nick, was just greatness. But tell us a little bit about doing this.
Well, you know, Stephen and I have known each other a long time, and he had asked to be on an episode of Acting School, and I said, well, you know, come on, and we'll talk about it. We'll just have some fun, and we'll talk about, you know, being friends when you're an actor. And, you know, Steve reveals in the video that he's basically a very, very jealous and hateful person, and that he comes on the show, and he, you know, I exposed to him what he said in an interview where he said he wanted my part on Justified. And, you know, he's got every part in the world. The guy does 10 movies a year, and yet he wants my little part. So, you know, we had to have a discussion about that. And basically, you know, Stephen got drunk and made an ass of himself, and I had to throw him out. So, you know.
Yeah, that boy works a good 60 hours a year, man. I tell you what.
Yeah, he's probably... You know, I work 30 or 40 days a year. Yeah, I bet Stephen probably works 50 or 60. You know, he's working a lot. So.
Well, Nick, let's. If you've got a few minutes before we get to the bottom of the, we're gonna run a little late on this segment because I want to enjoy every minute with you, as does Bing and our guests. And I'd like for a couple of folks just to get to ask you a question. Just be able to say that they actually got to speak to Peabody Award winning international film and television star Nick Searcy. Is that all right?
Yes, I have a few more minutes I can bestow upon you and your listeners.
Yeah, we don't want to put you out, Nick.
We're going to bring in, first of all, we're going to bring in Barbara Buffing from North Carolina. Barbara, how are you doing today?
I'm very good, thank you. How's everybody?
Everybody's good. Do you have something for international film and television star Nick Searcy? And remember, you need to prefer to hit international film and television star Nick Searcy.
Okay, Mr. Television Star Nick Searcy, I do have a question. How is your exercise going? I saw you were at the gym that one time, and you were looking a little painful. So I was just wondering if you were keeping that up.
Well, of course. I mean, as you can see, a body like mine doesn't just happen. It doesn't just grow on trees, you know. It takes work. It takes work and daily choices in terms of diet. And the work is ongoing. I can't really let up for a day, or what I have will slip away from me.
You start looking like Fabio.
Yes, or something ridiculous. Yes.
Thanks, Barbara. Hey, let's bring in our brother here, Brother Kurt Blackwood from Tennessee. Mr. Searcy. Kurt, you got anything for award-winning international and film television star Nick Searcy?
Well, yeah, Michael. I'm humbled and a little bit confused. It's just pretty educational and somewhat entertaining. But I'm a little bummed. I misunderstood. I thought they said we were going to have on Nick Nolte. What happened here?
Well, you sound, from the sound of your voice, I don't want to make any assumptions here, but you sound really old. And Nick Nolte.
I'm very old.
Yes, Nick Nolte is a thing of the past. He is an artifact of the 70s and 80s. And I am what's happening now. I am happening now. So Kurt from Tennessee, you need to catch up a little bit. You need to up your game a little bit.
I'll work on that tomorrow.
Sir,
okay,
thanks.
Please do.
Thanks, standby, Kurt, for the roundtable. Let's bring in let's take another one or two phone calls if we can, Nick, if you've got just a second, because these guys, they're really good supporters of ours, and I like to try to include them, being and I do. We're going to bring in Brother Shout.
What's going on today, Michael?
Oh, not much. Just having a good time with Nick Searcy, international film.
International film star.
International award-winning film star. That's quite a title. And I'm humbled to be on here. And I understand the fame thing since I've done stand-up comedy.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I made even less than most of the SAGA union members.
Yeah.
So it was fun, but not financially.
Well, yeah, in order to excel at a business like that, it takes a lot of work and you have to put in a lot of time. I have a friend, one of my best friends is Rodney Carrington. And, he had a long rise up. You know, he had a long way up the ladder. It took him 13, 14 years to get to where he is now. So it takes a lot of work to get there. And you can imagine how much work it takes to get where I am.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you won a Peabody. I mean, I wanted to ask you, are you going after the Sherman Award next?
The Sherman Award? I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, the Sherman. Then you'll get the Sherman and the Peabody Award.
You know, that's some smart-alecky reference to something. I don't really respond. I'll do the jokes here, Michael.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Well, Nick, I was thinking about this acting school with Nick Searcy, and you know how they have on, I forget which channels it is now, but like Pawn Star, and then they've got the Cajun Boys and all these different shows. And I was thinking, damn, this acting school with Nick Searcy would really fall in well with these kinds of shows they're doing on those channels that do those Pawn Star and all those types of shows. Any thought at all about taking this to something more than the fantastic thing you've got going on your website at nickcearcy.com with it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have 10 episodes planned as the show is right now. And when those are finished, we are, you know, definitely. I started this show as a public service. I'm not looking to profit from it. But, of course, there's a lot of people around me who see what I do and think this is a gold mine. So there are a lot of people that are trying. We're going to try to push this onto a network and make a legitimate scheduled television show out of it.
Well, it's great, sure. And it's some of the best stuff going. I mean, it's better. I don't watch much television as it is. I watch a few programs, Justified. I watch a lot of news. I like Dallas on TNT. But, I mean, this is really acting school with Nick Searcy is just greatness. It's pure greatness.
Thank you. It's funny. It's hilarious.
Thank you. I'm having far too much fun with it. And I think the really great thing about it right now is that I don't have anybody to answer to about it. I don't have to run anything by anybody and say, is this funny? Basically, me and my friend Chris Burgard, who's my partner in this, We just come up with an idea. We go shoot it. If it's not funny, we throw it away. I mean,
Are you going to run out of captions that end with time, though? I mean,
not so far. Not so far.
Well, now are we going to see the? Are we going to see the kid that played your son on? I think it's episode one. Spending time with your kids. I think that's probably so far my. I love that one. My wife gets on me so much about spending time with my kids and, you know, all of this grassroots stuff that I do. And I watch that one. I'm like, man, this guy has got me tight.
Well, it's a common problem. And, yeah, and that actually is my son in the video. He's my my son, Omar.
Okay, great.
This is a reality show. All the people in it are really people that are in my life, you know. I mean, that's a universal issue. I mean, when you're an important person like I am, like you are, and you have these little children around that your wife wants you to spend time with and spend time to get to know and all that crap, it can really take away from what you need to do as an important member of society. So that's what I made that episode about. Yeah.
Oh, that's
those,
just
those
great.
Doggone anchors, man. I just had a thought. You teaming up with Ozzy Osbourne to do a reality show, now that would trip me out, tell you.
I can't.
That would trip you out, have, though, I meant.
Yeah, I can't have dead weight like that dragging me down.
Sharon!
I got to move on. I got to move forward. He's last century. I'm now.
Well, Nick, we want to, hey, real quickly, I don't know how much more time you got. I mean, we'd love to have you on as long as we can, but I know that you're an actor, international television star, and Peabody Award winner, actor Nick Searcy. But real quickly, before you have to go, being and I, something that we fail to do with our guests every Sunday that we're really trying, I've got a note on my computer now, is get you just so that I can carve it out in a little while, say, hey, this is Peabody Award-winning international film and television star Nick Searcy. You're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism, or something along those lines. Could I impose on you, please?
Yeah. Sure. I will send the standard contract over afterwards with my fee attached, and you can. I will trust you to be good for the amount. You know.
Very well, sir.
Are you ready for this now? You want me to say it now?
Yeah. However you do it in Hollywood. One, two, three.
All right. You're watching. This is how a real professional does it, by the way. This is Peabody Award-winning international film and television star Nick Searcy, and you're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism Radio.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All righty.
What's up besides I guess you've got four more episodes you're going to do on Nick Searcy, acting school. You're wrapping up with Justified. What else is on your plate? Any movies coming up? What else can we expect from you? What can we be looking for?
Well, actually, I'm going to do something this spring that I haven't done in 15 years. I'm actually going to do a play out here in Los Angeles. And for those of you that don't know or don't remember, a play is a live event, and it takes place in a theater, and people pay and come and sit and watch actors do a play. It's kind of like it's going the way of opera, this whole theater thing. But yeah, I'm doing a play this spring called Billy and Ray, and it's a really great play written by Mike Bensavinga, and it's about the director Billy Wilder and the writer Raymond Chandler, who in the 40s wrote a movie called Double Indemnity together. And they they wrote in the same room, and it was a very odd couple sort of pairing. That Billy Wilder was kind of a wild, carousing kind of guy, and Raymond Chandler was a very sort of straight-laced kind of a man, a teetotaler, and it was just not a very, very good pairing. The play is very funny. We're doing it at the Falcon Theater in Toluca Lake, California, and Gary Marshall himself is going to direct it. So
that's G-A-R-R-Y, Marshall. Is that Penny's father, correct?
Exactly. Yes. Yes, Gary Marshall. It's at his theater, and he's going to direct it, which he hasn't directed a play in quite a while. So I'm very excited about that, and that will take me through May, and then Justified will start up again in October. So I don't know. From May to October, I may just sit around the house. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, but your international film and television star Nick Searcy, certainly you'll be some. Well, no, actually, you've got that one episode where you show what you do in your free time. I love that.
Yeah. John's very important to get my rest.
Yeah. Nick, John LaRosa just called you Nick One Take Searcy. I like that.
That's right. That's right. One Take Searcy. Because generally speaking, there's no reason to ever do it again, because whatever I did, I'm going to do the same thing. There's only one way I can do anything. So
if it's wrong the first time, it'll be wrong again.
That's kind of the measure twice, cut once principle.
Yeah. Right. And
makes perfect sense.
All the directors I work with learned that very, very quickly. It's like, as long as the scenery didn't fall down, there's no point in doing another take of Nick. He's just going to do the same thing. So let's just move on.
Yeah, as long as we don't have a death on the scene tonight, we've got to call the cops in, and we'll go with Nick. You know.
Right.
But well, Nick, I play Art Mullen on FX Network, and great show. And you also got Acting School with Nick Searcy. Plug your site, Bubba, and thank you so much for being with us. We had great fun. My sides are hurting, man.
Oh,
well, thanks, Michael and Bing. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot, brother. Hey, anytime we're at your disposal, we'd love to have you on again.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
All right. And everybody go to acting school.
Yes,
yep.
Absolutely. At Nick.
Stay in character.
That's right. Stay in character.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bing, how about that? Nick Searcy on Soldiers of Patriotism, and we got a radio spot from him. Man, I tell you what, Conservative Nation Radio. Well, did I say at the beginning of the show, by the way, I meant to say, I wanted to let everybody know and thank them for their support. And you know, this is just another benefit of it, having Nick. Of course, I've got to thank my sensei, John LaRosa, who has mentored me for the last 2 years in my grassroots activism. Actually, John is the one that got you and I hooked up with Nick and got this thing booked for us. And so big, big kudos to John. Speaking of which, John's going to be our guest next Sunday at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, and he's going to speak to us about CPAC 13. But anyway, I was going to say, I did the numbers, and I compared our numbers from January 2012 and the total amount of listeners we had then versus the total amount of listeners we have now. We're up 1,156%. We're up at about 8,000 listens a month now. So, and this is the benefit of it. I mean, you know, as John's posted around and some other people have commented, Conservative Nation Radio is bringing in some top conservative talent, and I couldn't be happier, brother.
Oh, no, I was just going to tell John, thanks a lot for doing that and hooking me up with Michael, man. I mean, you know, really. I was sitting there, my sides are like about ready to explode. I'm like, that was just funny. I mean, you know, the echo and so on. I think that's from your mic, Michael. But anyways,
I don't have to hang out live. I think I'm not going to ever call anybody from the studio again. Nick PM'd me and he said, I can either call or you can call me. And I just thought I'd make, you know, hell, he's an international film and television star. I thought, well, I'll make it easy on him. I'll call him. But I learned my lesson. I'm not going to.
Well,
do
he only makes $5,000 a year, so he probably can't afford the cell phone bill, you know.
Look, I've already got Shinerbach coming out of my nose from laughing. So. Hey, let's do a quick soft break, and we're going to wrap up the last 15 minutes of this show. The phone lines are stacked up. We've got our regulars on that I want to try to get back on for one last goodbye till next Sunday. But we've got several new callers that are listening. We've got Hugh. We've got Jamie and some other folks that are waiting. I'd like to get them on ahead of our regulars. But, folks, listen, I want to ask you to join Chris Ricketts for the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. Chris isn't afraid to wave the banner of Christianity in a world becoming hostile to biblical principles. Actually, former Marines aren't afraid of anything, are they? Join Chris to talk about Christianity, the Holy Bible, and God's perpetual plan for mankind's salvation. And he might also talk about his time in the Commandant's Own, the Marine Drum and Bugle Corps. That's right, Chris Ricketts was in the Marine Drum and Bugle Corps in Washington, D.C. That's the Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. And also, while I'm on it, I want to also ask you to join us every Friday night right here on the conservativenationradio.org for Things Not Seen with Christopher Manti. Things Not Seen at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Things Not Seen is a double entendre. It's an old Hebrew verse, plus we're behind the radio, so you can't see us. So Things Not Seen, it only makes sense. For a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, Christian principles, and the weird and wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus a bit of heavy metal rock and roll. So it is 46 minutes after the top of the hour. Bing, let's just do a quick little drop, and then we're going to bring in our guest here.
All right, brother.
I was going to do a quick little drop, but everything's went away. So we're not going to do the drop. When I uploaded something, it messed everything up. So let's go ahead and bring in we're going to bring in a caller, Hugh. Hugh, are you there? Would you like to join us? What did you have to say? Did you? I'm sorry if you had something for international film and television star Nick Searcy, but he had to run. So what say you today, my brother?
Well, it's a shame he had to run. I had a big party. Could have played the life, true life story about me, because he already has some experience as a deputy United States Marshal. But I was looking for another Nick, and that was Nicolas Cage, the Wicker Man, played a police officer. This is a very bizarre follow-up to that. I'd like to identify my name so he could see who he ran from. If I can share that, may be of interest to your listeners, too. There's all kinds of things on the Internet.
You're welcome to share about yourself whatever you'd like. Just remember, the show is recorded and archived. So.
Oh, I've done it plenty of times. In fact, I put the elites on notice constantly, and I'm bringing God back into America. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran. My business partner is a former Special Ops Green Beret who did the heavy lifting, the suicide missions behind enemy lines over there, and together we're doing some very big things, which I hope you'll follow up with us on. And my name is Hugh, H-U-G-H. The last name is Charlson, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. And the site that my partner put on the Internet, look for a WordPress site, and you'll see interviews and other things. And please do follow up with us, and you'll be blessed with all kinds of very unique and dynamic business opportunities through us, too. And my partner is truly amazing. He's got three doctorates, one in psychology, one in religion, one in theology, and he's an expert in the law of attraction as well as being a Bible expert. His name is Dr. Ed Maloney, and he has a blog talk show called Focus Change. It'll be coming on tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. He's based in Orlando, Florida, and his website is attractingabetterlife.com.
Well, awesome. Well, we'll take a look at all of that stuff, Hugh, and we do appreciate you calling in and sharing with that. I'll find your WordPress site and give that a look. And hey, why don't you jot down my email address, and we'll communicate offline as well. It's Michael.
Yeah, my phone number should be there, or it's on the WordPress site. I don't use email. I'm a global visionary, and I'm bringing in a whole new paradigm for mankind, bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love, making everything transparent, ethical, legal, moral, and forcing companies to be more responsible for their employees, their customers, the environment, and the community. Otherwise, I don't see them being around long as people wake up.
I understand. Well, I'll find that website, and I'll give you a call, and we'll chat.
Wonderful. Thank you. Give my best to Nick.
We will. Thanks a lot, Hugh.
He gave his best to us, I think. Thank you.
Hey, let's go ahead, Brother Bing, and bring in this caller, Jamie. Jamie, are you there? Jamie? Okay, hello, Jamie. Hello, Jamie. We're gonna do a blind dance for Bing. This can always be fun, so hold your horses. Who do we have at area code 302?
That would be your friend Duke Brooks.
All right, Duke. I was waiting for you to call in, my brother. What's going on? Hey, look, don't put me and I down in Huntsville. I know we deviated from what you told us to do today, but we do the best we can.
That's okay. I'm used to it. And besides, you guys can pull rank on me anytime you want. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, you know. But listen, anyway, I just wanted to invite everybody that's listening now to tune in tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on conservativenationradio.org for Radio Free America. The Merry Pranksters are at it again. And tomorrow night we will be hearing from Greg Penglis, who has his own online news service, and he has become quite an expert on the Second Amendment. We will be talking about that a little bit tomorrow night. I will also have Common Sense with Kevin Wade, the Religion of Peace update with Kevin Whiteman. That's been now referred to as the two Kevins. And we're also going to be doing On This Day in Civil War History, since we're now on the 150th anniversary of the unpleasantness. So it's going to be very interesting, and I may throw in an occasional chat about the helicopter flying days and all that sort of stuff. So make sure you're with me tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 Central for Radio Free America.
Awesome, Duke. Hey, listen, I read the live read for your show almost 2 hours ago.
I remember.
Tell our listeners on Soldiers of Patriotism that generally it you know, because we are soldiers of patriotism, but you knew that. But for those folks, really, in all seriousness, for those folks that have not tuned in yet or have not been to our website, which I wouldn't understand why anybody hasn't been to conservativenationradio.org or traditionalamericanmovement.com, tell us a little bit about Radio Free America. I mean, this is our program director. This man, Bing and I can't think enough between Duke Brooks and our general manager, Teresa Brusky. They've taken a group of unruly radio hosts and have changed the format, gotten everything in order, and I would account that for part of that 1,150% uptick in our listenership. Duke, tell us a little bit about Radio Free America.
Well, you know, Radio Free America is just a series of expressions that is in favor of conservatism. And to be a conservative means to acknowledge that there are certain cultural, societal, traditional, constitutional, legal, and linguistic factors in this country that have served the interests of this country very, very well over the years. And if, like me, you do believe that traditional American values are the right values, and if, like me, you believe that there is no way like the American way, then Radio Free America is your haven and your rescue from a sea of liberal propaganda. We always talk about the overwhelming left-wing bias in the media today. We always talk about the overwhelming left-wing bias in the academy in this country in general. And, of course, we talk about the fact that our country has moved into the wrong direction. And ultimately, of course, if people get the government they deserve, we need to wake people up, get them to the polls, throw the bums in Washington out, all of them, at the next election, get rid of all of them, and let's start afresh and let's acknowledge the U.S. Constitution and let's start doing things the way the U.S. Constitution says to do them, because the Constitution is the solution.
Absolutely. And that's Radio Free, folks, that's Radio Free America on the conservativenationradio.org. Three Mondays out of the month, it is at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow night, however, Duke, it will be at 9 p.m. Eastern, because you are a committee member in your county's Republican Party, and you do have an engagement once a month that requires your duties to do what you need to be out doing in your county in Delaware. Am I correct?
Well, trying to trying to keep our Republican majority here in Sussex, which is the southernmost of the three counties here in Delaware. That's correct. And sadly, you know, this is just 1 week a month. I think later on in the summertime, I'll probably take off a couple of those meetings, but for the next, at least tomorrow and in March, March 12th, it will be at 9 o'clock, so I can attend that 7 p.m. meeting about 20 minutes away from where I live. So I hope everybody will bear with me.
We appreciate
well, good,
it, dude.
Good deal. Doing what you do best, man. Keep the GOP at line and keep the Democrats at bay, I guess.
I sure hope so. I sure hope so. They are, you know, the Democrats, I do a lot of blogging, and when I read the things that the liberal Democrats write and I see the ideas that they're trying to foist on the innocent, unsuspecting American people, it's disgusting. And I don't know where these people, what planet they're from, but they're certainly not part of this human race as far as I can tell.
Absolutely. Well, Duke, thanks for calling in, and we appreciate it, brother. Stand by. Real quickly, let's just try to bring in, let's try one more time, and then we're going to run through our roundtable. I'm sorry, guys, it's going to have to be real quick roundtable today. We went a little long with Nick Searcy. Jamie, are you there yet? Jamie, going once. Jamie, going twice.
Sold to the highest bidder.
All right. Well, we're going to start up here with Ron. Guys, if y'all could just take about 30 seconds because we are quickly running out of time. Ron, go ahead.
It's a great show. Let's move on and let somebody else talk.
Thank you very much, Ron. Barbara.
Thank you.
Oh, hang on, Barbara. Barbara,
great.
Go ahead.
Great show. This was hysterical with Nick. He's great.
Yeah,
thanks,
I thought it
guys.
Was great. Hey, real quickly, tell us about your show. Just real quickly. I need about 15 or 20 seconds.
Women Patriots. Tuesdays, I don't even remember who's on. Tuesdays at 7 Central, 7 Central, no, that's Eastern.
7
right.
Eastern, 6 Central.
Thank you.
6 yeah.
Thanks. And well, you can find everything on conservativenationradio.org. I'm sorry I shouldn't have put you on the spot there like that, Barbara. Kurt, real quickly, brother.
Hey, good show, Michael. Back to you guys. Keep going.
Thanks a lot, Kurt. Bing. Brother, we're quickly running out of time, and I do have a short exit song, not a full one. It's just that I got tired of listening to our archives and it just ending abruptly, so I got a little something to take us out. But, brother, again, thank you so much for being my partner. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com, ConservativeNationRadio.org, two things that go great together like salt and pepper. I suggest that you go to both of them. Brother Bing, you got anything you want to say in closing real quick?
I'm just going to say go ahead with that banner, man. Let the South rise again.
Absolutely,
it's
brother. Amen.
We got some great guests coming up, too.
Y'all folks stay safe and don't lose your religion.
Uh-uh.
Soldiers of patriotism. Ah, nice and simple.
God bless America, and we'll see y'all next Sunday. Thank you very much.